How much money were you making in like the most in a month?
$300,000.
That's crazy.
He just wanted to be friends with me when nobody wanted to be. Like something's gone now. Like I can't even explain it. I want to cry. Like it's crazy. Like what God can do with someone like me.
Hello, you guys. Welcome back to the Crew Ellington podcast. Y'all, this is episode 2, so I'm still trying to get used to the setting and everything. But today's guest is so Holy Spirit led. Today we have Nala Ray, former OnlyFans model. Yeah. Is that what you... Yeah. That's so crazy. So let me tell you before we go in, because we're already cooking, y'all. Before we even cut the cameras, we're already cooking. I'm like, girl, you better hold on. So I'm just excited to see what the Lord has to just release today. But literally, I followed her like a few days ago, and then you followed me yesterday. Yeah. And then DM'd me. I'm just wanting to like send me your merch. If your merch is out, also y'all should shop her merch. Yee-yee, by the way,
be the change.
It is fire. It is so awesome. I'm excited to wear some. So she reached out to me and I was like, ain't no way that she reached out to me. Come on, God. Cause I wanted her on the pod. I said, yes, I would love to wear some of your merch. And I said, I would love to have you on the podcast as well, like if you're open. She's like, okay, like that'd be great. And then next thing you know, your flight gets delayed. Uh-huh. So you have an opening today. So yep. This is just Holy Spirit. So we have no agenda. We're just thankful. I'm thankful that you're here and that your husband is here with us. And yeah. So let's just crack back into where we started, because
so good.
We've already...
So good. I feel like we covered so many topics already.
She sits down and just starts cracking up on her story. She's like, yeah, so I did this, and the trauma when I'm in fifth grade. I'm like, I'm here. So, yeah, where does everything start? Like, let's go however you would best describe your testimony. Like, and we're just going to see where the Holy Spirit, where he brings it.
So, we're starting about, like, going back to the very beginning. Like, I was a pastor's kid, like, when I was, like, in my mid to later teens. So, my dad was a Baptist pastor, and I was in church, like, my entire life, it feels like, honestly. So, my parents actually went through a divorce when I was, like, 9. My dad left my mom, and then they remarried miraculously. And then my dad got into pastoring after that. So, we were in a Baptist church. Like, I was a pastor's kid, you know, doing all
what
the
denomination?
The roles. We were Baptist first and then went into non-denominational. So we went through like 3 church splits. Like it was a heavy time in our lives as a pastor's family. Like so much controversy. There was so many people coming up against us. And I was like, oh, this is just church life, I guess. But like as a pastor's kid, you have so many roles in the church. Yeah. Like you are the face of the church.
Yeah, yeah.
So you need to present. You know, you are welcoming people in with pamphlets. You are saying goodbye to people at the end. You are teaching Sunday school. You are in every class. Like I was on the worship team. I played an instrument. Like there was
doing it all.
I felt like I had so many hats, but my parents had like 5 children. So like we were all like working our butts off in the church. So later on, my dad got out of the ministry. We continued to go to church, but then I became like a young adult, started working. Mm-hmm. And I was really turned away from Christ at that point. Like I was just so done with it all. We were still going to church.
How old were you?
16. We were going to church, but I had like completely disregarded everything. I was so ready to get out of church. I was like, when I'm 18, man, I'm leaving this life. Yeah. I'm leaving my family. Like I'm so done with it. Just like the judgment that comes from being a pastor's family. And if you've ever been through a church split, it is so hard. Like it's so hard. The people that you loved in the church now are like against your family, and you just don't even understand why as a kid. You're like, well, what's wrong with my family? Mm-hmm. You know, like what did we do wrong?
Yeah, yeah.
So I feel like my whole upbringing has been like divorce after divorce after divorce, like my parents divorcing and then church divorcing. And it's just like constantly being left, you know? So a lot of trauma started for me in my life then. And as a younger teenager, I felt like no love, like no real love. Like my parents were just very focused on church. And then I really never had a good relationship with my mom. So that really sucked. But then with my dad, like my dad was just so focused on other people instead of his family. So like as a shepherd, you're supposed to shepherd your sheep first. And then like the church is your, you know, your flock. But that was not the case at all. It was like his family was like second tier to the church. And so once we just were only going to church and he was no longer a pastor, I really started like my promiscuous journey. Like I just wanted love so bad. I would get it from anyone or anywhere that I could find it. So I was like sneaking out of my house to meet with boys.
How old were you at the time?
Like 16.
16.
Oh yeah. Like very, very young. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, sneaking out of the house, doing really crazy things, hiding stuff from my parents. And then when I became 18, I worked like a full-time job. I was just trying to move out so desperately. And then I finally moved out when I was 20, and I moved to Cincinnati and got a big girl job there, like working in the healthcare. And so I was working. It just was so unfulfilled in my life. I did not have a good relationship with my parents or any of my other siblings. And there was just so much trauma that I wanted to run from it. Like, that's all I felt like doing was running from it. And then the opportunity came when I was like 21 to join OnlyFans. I had no idea what OnlyFans was. I had tiny little platforms. I think I was like only on Instagram. And I had like maybe 15,000 followers. So, and I was just a fitness chick. Like, that's all I was. I promoted fitness and that's all I wanted to do. But then this guy came to me on Instagram and was like, hey, like, you should join OnlyFans. Like, you're pretty, you would do really good on it. And I was like, what is OnlyFans?
You think I was a scammer?
You know, I think he was trying to scam me, because through OnlyFans has like referral programs. Yeah. So he was trying to refer me and get money out of that referral. To be a creator.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I didn't know OnlyFans did that. So I was like, okay, sure. Like, but I never signed up through him. I was like, I thought it was a scam. And I was like, I'm just gonna set up my own account, like not through you. Mm. So I did. In my first month, I literally cashed out $85,000. And I was like, oh, I'm quitting my job. Like, I quit my healthcare job. And that's I just crazy. Started that journey very shortly after I moved to California. And I was like, I want to be so far away from people I know, people I thought I loved, like my family. And I just want to go be me. Like, I need to be independent.
Why do you think that was, that you wanted to be away from everybody?
Trauma. Like, absolute trauma. Like, I never really felt loved in my family. And, like, throughout my siblings, like, I was even being, like, I was so bullied as a kid within my family, because I was also homeschooled. So I was, like, this, like, ugly duckling, like, kid and got picked on by my brothers and sisters. Like, I had crooked teeth. I wore glasses. Like, that was me. And so I ran to California to find some freedom, like telling myself this the entire time. Like, I need freedom. I'm independent. Like, I don't want anybody. Like, I don't even need a boyfriend. Like, I'm just going to go be. And I lived the life in California, like making that kind of money. And like, the money just increased, but also the requests increased with that money. Mm. So like, people were like, oh, hey, like, I'll pay you this much to do this, you know? And I was like, okay, like, that's fine. Mm. But all the while, literally paying with it for my soul, like completely. And I'm not talking about like selling my soul to the devil.
Right.
I'm talking about like literally giving so much of myself up that it was just like nothing was left, like absolutely nothing.
I want to touch on the California before we go into where the Lord came in and saved the day. How much money were you making in like the most in a month?
$300,000.
$300,000. And in the process of everything picking up, what type of opportunities were you like presented with?
Podcasting, like little TV shows. I did like a cooking show for OnlyFans. Like, OnlyFans has its own like TV show, stuff like that. So I was on it multiple times. And this wasn't like the sexual side of things. This was like a cooking show.
Okay.
So I got to do kind of cool opportunities like that. I traveled all over the place. I was with a Twitch team for a really long time, like streaming on Twitch with a big gambling company. And I went all over. I went to like Thailand with them and like Amsterdam, Paris, London. Like, I went everywhere with them. So big opportunities for sure. But again, all the while still doing OnlyFans. So like, none of it took me off of OnlyFans. It was just while I'm on OnlyFans, big opportunities arose.
So blowing up with OnlyFans, will people ever like recognize you in public?
Oh yeah.
From OnlyFans?
Oh yeah.
What did that feel like?
You know, at the time I was like, oh, cool. I'm like, you know, I get recognized. Yeah. And that was cool. I went to big like Twitch cons and stuff and I got recognized really big there. It's the red hair. You know, the red hair was so like drastic.
The blonde looks good, by the way.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So the blonde journey was like really fun for me because, one, my husband didn't even like the red hair.
Yeah, yeah.
And but he married me even though I had red hair. And so like, that was really cool. But like, I was like, all right, so if I'm giving my life to Christ, there needs to be refreshing all over my life.
Yeah, yeah.
And the blonde was like, one, I really would love to stop getting recognized because it's not about me anymore.
Yeah.
And then I think the red was really for like noticeability.
It's like your signature kind of. Mm-hmm. Everyone knew that it was you.
Yep. Yep. So, and you can become saved and have colored hair. Like, that's not a big issue at all. And, like, God doesn't condemn you for having colored hair.
Yeah.
So, but, like, a lot of things changed in my life after that. But do you want to hit on that yet or?
Yeah. That's crazy. So, I just wanted to, because I just know that there's a lot of people who are listening and could potentially want to go the route of OnlyFans because when you ain't got money,
you want money.
And when you want to be seen, you want to be seen. Mm-hmm. And I just want to talk about, like, where were you at emotionally? Were you happy? Like, be honest. If you were living it up, like, then you were living it up. But, like, what did that feel like? Like, what made you realize, like, that you needed something else? Like, because clearly you are completely different than the person that you were. So it's
praise
like
God.
You're right. Amen. So it's like, what did you feel like in that moment?
Well, I'm not going to say that I wasn't happy because things can give you happiness. Like if you see those memes online that they're like, money can't buy happiness, but it can buy me a GT3 RS. Like that driving that is happy. You know, that makes me feel good. But it depends on what kind of happiness, because the Lord gives joy. The world gives temporary happiness and pleasure. Mm. So if you're focused on materialistic things, cool. You'll be happy. Like I had like a $3.4 million home. I drove a Porsche. Like I had any designer bag you could ever want. I had designer clothing. Like I didn't have friends, but I had things. Mm. And there was this one like instance when I was in New York. I had just been on a big shopping spree and I was not saved. I came into my hotel room and had all this designer stuff that I had bought that day. I sat on the end of my bed. I was like, I'm so alone. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt so sad. I was like, wow, like, I just bought all this stuff and it brings me nothing. Like, the dopamine is there, like, while you're swiping your card. Mm-hmm. But then, like, after you're sitting with it, that bag's not going to hug you. Mm-hmm. Like, that dress is not going to make you feel warm inside. Mm-hmm. Like, nothing. So again, like there are things that the world can give you, the devil can give you. Because Jordan said something so amazing to me when I was on OnlyFans. He's like, you know, the devil can give you things, but he has a budget. Mm. And I was like, oh, that's good.
Wow.
But God can give you anything and everything because it's all his anyway.
Yeah.
So of course there's happiness in things. But it depends on, like, if you're following Christ, materialistic things do not matter. Because in the Bible, it says it will all fade away. It will all rust. It will give way to moth and decay. So, but the things spiritually, the things of God do not rust, do not give way to moth and decay.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're a Christian, you should be focused on that because the world will throw so much at you.
Yeah.
Like, just so much. But if you're weak enough, you will accept it. But for girls thinking, even like considering going on OnlyFans, I think there's something in your heart that's like pushing you towards that too. Not only the devil, but it could be trauma. It could be you feeling unworthy of love. Mm-hmm. It could be that you need and desire attention. Mm. It could not even be like the fact that you think you're going to become super famous from it, but it could be like, oh, I need financial stability. Yeah. Let me sell my body. Mm. Like, oh, maybe if it's just feet pics, like feet pics still make somebody else sin. Because some people are into that weirdly.
Yeah.
But like you just might think it's your feet.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
For somebody else, it's like a reason to come. Like, I'm sorry if I said that like that. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like
actually.
You're causing somebody to lust, which is sinful. Like causing them to like stumble.
Yeah.
So like, again, there's happiness that the world can offer you. But it's so temporary and it's so fake. Mm. Like when Jesus comes back, dude, that's burning.
Yeah.
Like, but your salvation is what's like so promised and so just like fruitful and so valued.
That's
so that's not going away.
Yeah. How long ago was the California lifestyle for you where you were peaking in the OnlyFans and all that kind of stuff?
9 months ago.
9 months ago is actually crazy.
Crazy.
If that is not like such a depiction of Christ, like it is no doubt that Jesus is real whenever you have like a visible physical, spiritual, everything difference, like a complete transformation. And like, you're literally just like completely different, on fire for the Lord, like using every platform that the enemy has given you. But then like you talked about earlier, the Lord has exceeded it. And you said, I'm going to use this. What Satan meant for evil, God will turn for good. And I will use all of this. Because I remember seeing a podcast where you had the red hair. Mm-hmm. What's Good podcast. Is
the Whatever podcast.
Whatever podcast. And when did you film that?
Because that went viral. 2 years ago.
Two years ago. Can you explain a little bit? Because I think a lot of people will recognize you probably from that.
Yeah. So that podcast aired, and that was the first time I had been on the whatever podcast. But at that time, I had this mindset. I was like, I need to go viral to make more money. How are people going to know who I am or what my OnlyFans is if they don't know, like, they haven't seen me, you know? So when I get on these platforms, I'm like, I'm going to rule this podcast. I'm going to rule whatever I'm doing. Like, I will take it over. So I went in there with this mindset of like control. And I was like, I'm going to get more money from this. Like, and that's the whole purpose. Like, you want to make money. Yeah. Like, that's it. I want to get my bag. Like, as a girl, I say now.
Right, right.
But like, that was it. And I like completely lied. I was single at the time talking about cheating. I'm like, didn't you guys understand that I'm literally telling you I'm single and then having a fantasy about cheating? Hmm. Like, so I know men's minds. Like, I understand what they want. And like, if you're like, in my mind at that time, I was like, oh, even if you're having a rough relationship, you're going to watch what I'm doing and then go do what you want with it kind of thing, because you're unhappy and I can provide some pleasure for you. Mm. So like,
so in the video, like, if you haven't seen it, I remember somebody was asking you and you said something on the, around the lines of like, your fantasy was just like cheating.
Mm-hmm.
And that like blew up and went viral.
Yeah.
What was like, what did that feel like when everything blew up? And
one, I knew it was going to blow up. Like, cause it was so like crazy. Mm-hmm. I've never heard someone say that online. Yeah. And I knew if I said that, like, I did my research. Yeah. Like, I understand like what's viral. I was living in social media. Like, I see everything. So I was like, no one said this before. And like, I'm crazy. Like, look at me. I have red hair.
Yeah.
I look like Pikachu or some anime character. Like, I could literally say whatever I wanted, but I needed to be a dominant like pawn in this game. Like, I'm the queen in a chessboard, you know? So I need to make any move possible to become viral. And I knew it was going to become viral because, again, who says stuff like that on a podcast or anywhere for that matter?
Yes.
So
stuff's blowing up, going crazy, getting your bag, all the things, experiencing happiness. But there's like this subtle like loneliness that seems to be like a continual like part of your story.
A burden. It was a complete burden. Every day I woke up, I was like, like, once again, I'm alone. I have no friends. Like, because in California, who is your friend here?
Mm.
Like, who is your friend here? And I'm not saying there's not good people here, but like, as a Christian, who would become friends with an OnlyFans model doing what she's doing? So many people turned me away. Even like secular people turned me away. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm like one of those unwantables, you know? Like, you like me because I have all these things and I throw great parties, but other than that, you don't want to be my friend. So I struggled with that a lot, and I threw myself into so many hobbies, like speaking Japanese, martial arts,
fighting. You
speak
Japanese?
Yeah.
Wait, let me hear.
Konnichiwa, desu.
That's crazy. Are you fluent?
No, not yet. That means I only speak partial Japanese. I'm still
learning.
Wait,
that's so cool. That's crazy.
Yeah, so I threw myself into all these hobbies thinking like it'll fill my time, you know?
Right.
Because being a content creator after like 3-4 years is not hard, you know? So like, I'm like looking for things to do. I pick up like bow staffing and nunchucks and like all this stuff just to fill my time with, because I was so alone. Like, I have nothing to do. I have no friends. Like, my life is literally so lonely, living in like a 4,200 square foot home, doing nothing. Like, being a content creator is not hard. It's just not. Like, I know for some people it may be, but overall I was just so alone. And like, I don't know. It was a burden of numbness. Like, I completely felt numb inside, like,
what
towards things.
Brought you to the wit's end of like, all right, I got to do something about this.
Jordan, my husband now, like, he made me realize it in such beautiful, like, simple ways. And it was just the Holy Spirit working through him, because the Holy Spirit will definitely move. And like, Jordan was there to plant seeds. And so he did that perfectly. Like, there's no formula for it. It's just continuing to show one Christ character and be respectful. And he just wanted to be friends with me when nobody wanted to be. Like, again, I said I was like an unwantable. Like,
what did he do that made you feel like a friend?
So we met on TikTok Live. Like, he was battling on TikTok Live. He had like his battle helmet on, his like 5V, what is it? 5-plated. What is it, babe? Like, you're four level plated battle gear on, like real stuff. Yeah, like yeah. It was crazy. So I saw him on TikTok Live and I was like, this guy's crazy. He's like throwing his chair and stuff. I was like obsessed. So I went in there and gifted him and like helped him win the battle. And so like that was really cool. And Jordan reached out to me and just said like, hey, thank you so much for that. And then like the next night he did the same thing. I went in there and helped him win the next battle. And
romance is the
and then facts. And then he reached out to me and sent me his number. I sent him my number, but I didn't think anything of it. So then like later that night, he was trying to FaceTime me. I was like, why is this guy FaceTiming me? Like, I don't want to talk. I was just throwing gifts. So then he FaceTimed me and we just started talking. Like I felt like something in him that was so different. And like a week into it, I was like, you know, I do OnlyFans, right? Like, if you don't know already, like, this is what I do for a living. Like, because I thought once he finds out I do OnlyFans, he's going to stop talking to me. Like, I knew it. Like, obviously, I thought he was cute looking, but I didn't want anything. And he didn't want anything. Like, we were both just single and living, you know? And so a couple weeks went by. We continued to FaceTime, ask each other really deep questions. It just became like such a beautiful friendship. Like nothing was sexual. He didn't ask me for anything. He just wanted to talk. And I was like, wow. But all that time, he's a Christian and talking to me about the Lord. And I could have conversations about God because like I was a pastor's kid. So we actually had really engaging conversations, but it's not like I actually believed it. You know, I wasn't believing in Christ. I wasn't living for Christ. But even through me telling him I was on OnlyFans, he literally was like, I don't care. Like, I really don't care. Like, that's fine. You can, yeah, whatever. So we continued to talk and we met up in Nashville for the first time because he was living in Virginia. I was in California. We were very long distance. And so we decided to meet up in Nashville, had two different hotel rooms, and he just treated me with so much respect. Like, we didn't, like, do anything. It was just, like, meeting up with a great friend.
In the past relationships, is it usually not like that?
No. Like, it's so, like, normally, like, the first date, it's like, you're, like, doing something together. And, like, that's what's expected from people, especially in California, I feel like. Like, that's just, like, the hookup culture.
Yes.
It's like, you don't even care who they are, but you're ready to sleep with them. So, Jordan never showed me any side of that, like, ever, like, was very appropriate, very modest as a man, and like so respectful to me as a woman, even though I was doing what I was doing.
What did you feel at the time? Like, you're doing all these things, and then this man comes in who's literally like, hey, like, I literally just like love you for you. Like, I'm just here for you.
Like, he completely intrigued me. Like, I was like awestruck, and not even by him being so handsome, but I was just like, no way. Like, what does he have inside? Why is he doing this? Like, I had so many questions about it. But then later on, we became great, great friends and started kind of showing interest in each other. But Jordan made his boundaries very clear. He's like, I will not date an OnlyFans model. Like, I am here to serve the Lord, and that's not what God has for me. And so Jordan sent me, I was in Miami for my birthday, and he, like, this last December, and he sent me this video with a Bible verse and was just nowhere condemning me at all, but just telling me how worthy I was of like God's love. That was it. And it struck me so hard that I became so defensive and I called him immediately. I was like, why are you judging me? Like, why do you have to say this to me? Like, I'm doing what I'm doing because I like, this is what I love. Like, he backed off completely and was just like, okay, I got you. You know, so gentle about it. And I was ready for a fight. Like, I was so ready to argue with him. And but he continued in that love, like continually sending me Bible verses and through everything. We talked it out and stuff. But then right when I got home was when I had that meeting with Christ. So we were on FaceTime. He had knocked out upstairs, like on FaceTime. And I came downstairs just feeling so many things. I started sobbing in front of my fireplace. I was just like staring at the fire, feeling so alone, even though I had a good friend. But I felt nothing, like, but also everything, you know? So I started sobbing. And for some reason, like the week before, I had a maid at the time and I had cleaned out one of my cabinets right in front of me in the near the fireplace and had my Bible that I've had since 2009 and took it out and put it on top of the cabinet. So it was in plain sight. And I was just like, sobbing and sobbing and sobbing. And I just started talking to God. Mm-hmm. And I was like, God, like, I need something. I don't know what's going on right now, but I am so full of something and I don't know what it is. I can't even explain myself to you. And I just went and picked up my Bible. I didn't read anything specifically, but I was flipping it through and I saw so many like highlighted verses all through the Bible, writings all over it. Like I like wrote all in that Bible. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, like I used to care about this. Mm. Like something in me cared about this. And God just so openly spoke to me. And I was like, God, like, what is it that I need? Like, what am I missing here? And he was like, all you ever needed was me. Mm. Like, that's all he had to say to me to literally like flip a switch in me. One, I knew it was God because like, not only like when I closed my eyes, I saw it in like plain like writing, but when I opened my eyes, I could still see it, like what he had said to me. And I was like, no way. Like this is crazy. Like I haven't heard from you in years and now you're speaking to me. Mm. And that's all he had to say to like get that ball rolling. Mm. Like that seed that Jordan had been planting and planting and planted has just been watered. And I was like, whoa. And then I got on the phone with Jordan the next day, told him everything that had happened. And he started really hardcore praying for me. His mom was in prayer for me way before I knew she was. Wow. And she's a great prayer warrior. Mm. And so that's kind of how it kicked off. But then that next Sunday, I was so vulnerable to Christ. Mm. And we went to this church and I was like, I need to get baptized. And so we go to this church. They had ended their baptizing. Hmm. And so I ran up to the guy and I looked at Jordan and Jordan's like, do you want to get baptized? I was like, yes. Tears were just streaming down my face. Mm. I knew I needed to get baptized. And so I ran up to the guy who had just stepped out of the pool. I was like, I have to get baptized. You don't understand. Like, this has to happen today. And this lady comes up. She's like, you know what? I have a pair of shorts in my car. Let me go get them. Because I was in a full, like, church outfit. And I didn't care if I had to get dunked in that or not. But she had a pair of shorts. They gave me a T-shirt. I changed, came out. Just, I got saved right there before I got dunked. And, like, I promise you, when I came out of that water, like, the film just like, it was like a filter was like over my eyes. Like when I was crying, like through the tears, I'm looking at colors, I'm looking at things, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like something's gone now. Like I can't even explain it. I want to cry. Mm. Like it's crazy. Like what God can do with someone like me. Mm. Like, dude, it's crazy.
He uses the unlikely. We're just talking about that with the story of David. Like, he chooses the one that no one else chooses, the one that feels left out and overlooked. Like the story of David, whenever Samuel says, hey, I'm going to come and anoint the king, they don't even bring David. He's not even invited. Like, he's literally kicked to the curb. But Samuel said, nah, the king isn't here. Bring him. Bring your other son. And I just believe that's the same thing that the Lord did in your story, which is so cool. Like you felt so overlooked for so long by everyone else, but all along the Lord just wanted you.
Like to be with him.
Just wanted your heart. And he used the Samuel. He used your husband to literally be, no, not this one, not this one. I want this one. Like I want Nala.
And I've always been so outspoken. Like going back from like being on OnlyFans, I'm so outspoken. But now like God didn't make me timid. Mm. I'm not shy.
No, you weren't.
I still have like this boldness. Yeah. And I was like, I'm using that for Christ. Amen. Like he wants me to speak. I will speak, but only when he wants me to, you know, like God has guided me on so many podcasts and there's been ones I've been invited on that I didn't feel called to. Mm. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Like this isn't about me. This isn't about fame for me anymore. This is where God wants me to be. Mm. And that's it. So like, that's why this meeting is crazy.
Yeah, I'm so thankful that you're here. It's just completely Holy Spirit. I'm just like sitting back getting ministered to of like your story just like goes back down to everyone else's story is like we just felt unworthy and we felt we were in shame and we just came to God. We didn't have to clean ourselves up.
No.
You didn't even have to quit anything for your husband to show the Lord's love. Mm-mm. We don't have to quit anything for God to love us. We receive the love and then he transforms us.
That's it. And I feel like it would be a really different testimony if I was still on OnlyFans, but being like, oh yeah, I love God. There's right. a lot of OnlyFans girls yeah. that have openly spoken out about how they know and love God and are still doing what they're doing. Mm. And I'm like, no, God will change you. But it started little things. Like OnlyFans didn't stop first.
After the baptism?
Yeah, it didn't. Like I was no longer selling things, but I did tell my team, I was like, delete everything. Everything. Mm. I still had it open, but everything was deleted. And then my modesty got checked by the Holy Spirit. Like, I was like, okay, well, this is a Proverbs 31 woman. She's not dressing like this. So I deleted. I literally got rid of all of my immodest clothing and didn't give it away. I just threw it away because I'm like, if some other girl gets this, she's now going to cause other people to stumble. So I just threw it away no matter what the cost of it was. I was like, I'm not here to sell anything. I'm here to give it up completely. That cussing. Drinking, I was smoking weed and I like totally gave it up. Like, that was such a God thing. Like,
how were you able to give it up? Because I know a lot of people listening are like, dang, I dress really immodestly, or dang, I can't give up this. I've tried time and time again.
It's because you're trying. That's why we don't have the power to do much at all. Like, we really don't. The Holy Spirit, though, again, he's called our helper and our teacher. He will one teach you and then help you. So I cried out to the Holy Spirit and I was like, you got to help me because I can't do it. I'm so addicted to this. Like, I felt like I needed the weed just to get through a day. But what the Holy Spirit revealed to me was that the weed was numbing me, and God gave emotions. Like, who am I to numb something that God gave us? Mm. Like, my emotions are from the Lord. Yeah. So I'm like, he wants me to feel things. Mm-hmm. He wants me to be sad. He wants me to be angry. He wants me to be happy and joyful. Like, who am I to numb that or put something over that? So that's really what helped me. And it wasn't actually that hard. I don't know, but it was just like,
I think because your humility and what the Lord is teaching me in the season is just like receiving. And I was on a pod a few months ago that changed my life. And I was like crying so hard because I was like, I feel like I can't receive love. I feel like everything I do, you know, has been transactional. Like, I have to do this thing for someone to love me and all these things. Mm-hmm. And it was Megan Faith Marshman. I was with her and she said, you know, it takes a humble heart to receive. And I think it's the same way. You say, okay, well, the Holy Spirit's the helper and I want to quit these things and all these things. But you said, you're not stopping because you're trying to do it on your own might. So you have to receive the help.
Yep. You
in
really
order
do.
To receive, you have to humble yourself. And the reason I think it's been so easy for you is because you're low, because you're humble. I mean, the lower you go, the more you grow. That's what I always
That's
say.
That's awesome.
Come
well,
on.
You're getting buried in that soil.
Because you're closer to his feet.
Ooh.
And it's just so evident in just how you literally come in here, sit down, like go off. Like, you are so on fire for the Lord. And it's like, you can have as much of God as you want. And I think a lot of people, you know, I'm working on my relationship with Jesus and I want to know him more. It's like, if you did, then you would go read your word.
Yes.
He shows you what to do. You would go and pray. You can have as much of him as you want.
Yeah.
And the reason you're experiencing this is because you are humbling yourself and saying, God, I literally need you because your hands are open.
And the Holy Spirit is like so amazing because he will convict you even as a follower of Christ. It's because we are not perfect. Yeah. We will think things because God not only looks at the action, but the intent behind it. Mm-hmm. So even if you do not do or say something, what's going on in your heart? And that is something that really convicted me. The minute I felt like if I walk by somebody and I'm like, oh man, I'm prettier than them. Like, what is in my heart? It's not, I didn't say anything and I didn't do anything, but I'm thinking it and it's a root in my heart. Dang. So I've actually went through that. Like, especially in the beginning, I'm like, oh man, I'm like prettier than that person. And I'm like, oh, like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, Holy Spirit. Like, you need to purify me right now. I love that book in the Bible, Psalm 139, talking about like, search me, O Lord, search my heart, because I can't, like, I can't do it at all. I don't know what's in my heart. I don't know what I've put in myself to have that happen or for this trauma to be revealed. An amazing book I started reading was Soul Care. Like, your soul is different from your spirit. Your soul absorbs trauma and your soul needs to be like unlayered like an onion from all the years of living. Like, what have you put into yourself? So, and it's a great Christ-led book. Like, it will like take you through so much to do with God and what prayers to be praying and what to ask God and what is Holy Spirit revealing to you in this moment about your soul. What have you put in there? I just got off of forgiveness and that chapter was deep. I had to read it like a Proverbs. Like, it's so good. Right. So, like, I feel like no matter what, the Holy Spirit will continue to, like, walk on this journey with Christ. Because, again, even at the end of our journey, we still would not have known everything about God. Like, we will die not knowing everything about God.
Yeah.
And that's crazy. That's just like my cup runneth over kind of thing. Like, it will continue to overflow as long as you're seeking Christ.
Yeah.
Ask God. Like, so many people don't even understand what you can ask God for.
Yeah.
God, I ask you for this thirst for you.
Yeah.
Help me to be obedient when you call me.
Yeah.
The fact that you prayed and asked for a burden on your heart, that is exactly what we should be doing. Like, God, give me a burden on my heart for the unsaved. And then tell me what to do with it. So you're giving me this burden for people. What do I do with it? How do I use this? Like, that's all. We can ask God for so much.
That's so good. The word says you have not because you ask not.
Ooh.
And for me, what I'm realizing is, like, as I step into ministry, and same with you, I don't think we should do anything without a burden. So if you're just acting without a burden of in our purpose of why you're doing it, a lot of times we're just doing it for ourselves.
Ooh, that's
so
good.
If we could step back, like you said, God looks at the heart and say, okay, God, why am I doing this? Burden my heart, because he looks at your heart. Burden my heart for the person who needs to see this. It's not about me. It's not about a clip on social media. It's not about anything, God. This is about your kingdom and about us edifying one another. Like, just being in here, like two Christians sharpening one another, as we leave this place, that we feel fuller than we did whenever we came in. That's what it's all about. God, give me that burden. And it's just so beautiful. Like, it's just like hitting me so much of, like, where you're saying, like, that God looks at the heart. It's like so convicting to me, because so oftentimes we want to fall into, like, the ways of legalism. Okay, well, I'm not doing, you know, this action, this and
that's
this.
That's so true.
And I was just talking with Allie and Ash in the last episode just about how shame, because I've lived my whole life in shame.
Same.
Everything that I did. And this is the thing. Shame can change the outward appearance, but it can't change the inward. It's just like how Jesus says to the Pharisees, you clean the outside of the glass, but the inside is still disgusting and dirty. So what the Lord taught me is Romans 2 talks about, or 3 says that his kindness leads us to repentance. What is repentance? It is, you know, confessing with your mouth, but also transformation.
Yes.
Transformation actually in the heart that turns into the physical. And I just see, as, you know, I'm maturing, and as a lot of people are turning away from Christ, I'm being honest. A lot of people, you know, are
in
going to camp,
too,
experiencing the Lord, and they're turning away. And I believe because there's not true repentance happening.
Yes.
And what needs to be done is Psalm 139, pray, God, search my heart, know my heart. Know that God does not look at your outer deeds, your works, or anything, but he looks at your heart. And realize that you cannot live a life thriving in Christ if you're operating in shame. You can operate in the gifts. The Lord will still use you, because he can use anybody.
Yes, he can.
He can.
That
he
doesn't
can
mean
use
you're
you.
Saved, though, or doesn't mean you're an actual follower of Christ.
Exactly. Yeah. And what I realized is, just for me, like, even in my past, like, I'm a Christian. I've been one for almost 4 years now. And even just in the last, like, at the beginning of this year, so much I was operating, like, I was teaching on social media out of wounds. I felt like for God to be proud of me, I needed to teach on social media about him. Like, crazy stuff like that. And, like, that was just a few months ago. So it's a process of receiving God's grace, and a process of, like, I knew that I was doing what I knew best.
Yeah.
Like, and then that bleeds into me having grace for other people. But at the end of the day, we have to receive the Lord's grace and his kindness, because it was your husband's kindness that led you to repentance. It wasn't shame. Shame was going to do absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
And I believe the Lord is just bringing unity back in the church. And the way that we can have unity is through grace and love. There's a scripture in Ephesians, and I want to find it, and
Ephesians,
I want to read
it. It's a great book.
Because I heard Francis Chan. Are you familiar with him?
I'm not.
He's lit. He was doing a sermon about it, and it's talking about unity in the body. And in this scripture specifically, it talks about how we can actually grieve the Holy Spirit.
I've heard about that in the Holy Spirit book. Yeah.
Like,
that's crazy.
Come on, God. I think it's Ephesians 4. Actually, is it Ecclesiastes? God, which one is it? Philippians, Ephesians, I'm at Philippians, hold on. But anyways, it talks about how we can grieve the Holy Spirit, and it just absolutely broke my heart, because it's like God, who literally, like, created us, like, to love us, like, it's just crazy. First off, Genesis 3 has been blowing my mind, like the fall of man, because I was supposed to go and teach. So I travel often, I speak to youth. Gen Z is like my heart. Because I'm 21 years old, so I still feel, how old are you?
I'm 26.
26.
Yeah.
So we're pretty close. But I still feel like I'm Gen Z and, like, how I act and everything. But it's just like, they were telling me, they said, Karoo, I want you to go and tell these kids, if they could look in the mirror, how Jesus would see them. And I'm like, well, before I can explain how Jesus would see them, we need to even know, why am I even here? Before he knows why, how he sees us, why did he create me? So we go into Genesis, and it just absolutely just blow my mind. And it's cool because as you teach people, the Lord is teaching you.
Oh, and
it's just a cool process of ministry. And I'm sure you've seen this over the last few months of like, dang, I'm just like this. My hands are open. There's stuff that the Lord is just so gracious as he walks me through a podcast. Probably shouldn't have said that, but hey, thank you for showing me that, Lord. You know what I mean?
Well, even when you're speaking, Holy Spirit's speaking through you, and you're like, like I'm learning while I'm speaking.
Like there's no, we don't have any structure for this pod. Like it's just, the Lord is just so gracious. And so we look in Genesis and we see like at the end of the day, the Lord created us to love us. Because God is love. He had so much love in his heart that he created us to enjoy him and for him to enjoy us, like relationship. So why don't we do that? Why do we live in shame? Okay, well, good thing you're not alone. Genesis 3 shows Adam and Eve, the fall of man, what happens. So Satan comes at them and says, hey, if you do this and you'll become like God. What do we see in the temptations through Satan? Every single time he's going to attack your identity. That's why you need the sword of the spirit, the only offensive weapon that Ephesians talks about. So therefore, if they would have actually known in Genesis 2 that God said, let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness, they already were like God. So
when God says in our own, who is he talking to and about?
Jesus.
Okay.
And the Holy Spirit.
Right. So many people have come at me and been like, no, he's talking about him and the angels. I'm like, no, he's not.
I don't look
it's
like no
the
angel.
Trinity. Thank you.
I don't have millions of eyes all over me like
a
biblically
accurate
angel.
No, I'm not a
angel.
Sphere.
Exactly.
Like, no.
No. Come on.
And okay, do you think, this is something I've been thinking about, is that, so if God created us in his image, is he talking about us physically or is he talking about our spirit? Because our spirit is eternal. Mm. Our physical is not. And God is eternal. So is he talking about making us in his image as far as our spirit?
Dang, that's a
in
good
his
question.
Image? Or is he talking about our physical features? Because a lot of people are like, I've even heard this, like everyone in the world, if you put them together, it looks like God. And I'm like, I don't know about that. Because one, God is not, like, like God is immortal. We are not. Yeah. So why would he make us in his image physically? But he created our spirit, which is eternal.
Dang. I even think it could be our emotions as well.
Oh, absolutely.
And seeing how that we function. Because if we, I was reading a book called Gentle and Lowly. And that, the chapter in Matthew that says, come to me all who are weary and carry heavy burden and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon me. For I am gentle and lowly at heart. That is the only time where the Bible really shows a Jesus explaining a characteristic of him. And we even go even deeper of seeing Jesus whenever, I think it was Lazarus was dead or there was a dude who's dead. Oh, yeah. And he walks in, he actually weeps first.
Yeah,
he
I think it was Lazarus, yeah.
So he shows his emotion. Yeah. And I think that's really cool. Like you don't see a dog like physically crying or you don't see any other animal doing these things. So I think when he says made in his image, I know for sure that it's like emotion and like our feelings and how we like experience things. And it's just so cool.
Yes.
Like even
and
realizing.
And that's why I wanted to stop smoking weed. I was like I'm masking something that God gave me.
Yeah.
There's no point for that.
Yeah.
And as a woman, like we are more emotional.
Yeah.
So it's like, and we are those nurturers. And I think God is such a nurturer.
Yeah.
That's why, again, male and female are so different and opposite, but yet together God is both. You know, like
that makes sense.
Has both characteristics.
Yeah.
And
that's a really good
Jordan
question.
And I have had so many amazing spiritual conversations. And one of them being like, why did God put us on the earth? Yes, he loves us.
Yes.
Wanted to outpour his love because he has so much of it. Endless love.
Yeah.
But like we on earth are his counterpart. The people, like God doesn't have a wife, you know. God doesn't have a counterpart, the church.
Yeah.
So like he put us here on earth and he wants the most loyal people ever. Like everything we're going through is a test.
Yeah.
But to refine us and continue to refine us. And everyone who wouldn't be loyal to God, you know, obviously has the sad end of going to hell. But everyone who doesn't goes to heaven and we have committed ourselves to him.
Yeah.
Like we are his bride, it says, and he is the groom when he come back like a thief in the night.
Mm.
Like, we are God's counterpart, not that like anything sexual or anything, and not that we are female, but like in heaven, our
submissive.
Spiritual being.
Submissive is what we
such
are.
Such a cool, like, I love speaking to other Christians about like who just love God and just want to continue to try to understand it. But even through all of that, us trying to understand him, we won't.
Mm-hmm.
Like he will give us insight.
Yeah.
as far as we want it.
Yeah.
But again, we still will not ever on earth comprehend the goodness, the graciousness, the merciful,
yeah.
the powerful, the love yeah. of God. Like only the only love that we can comprehend is like philios mm. or like brotherly love.
Yeah.
And he is full on agape love.
Dang.
Like,
and I think he just shows that so well in Genesis 3 in the fall and like what happens, you know, when Eve, you know, hears the lie, believes the lie, eats the fruit, mm-hmm. whatever. And then feels shame and feels gross and feels naked. So, okay, what'd she, her and Adam do whenever they both ate from the fruit? They ran.
Covered.
And they yeah. hid and they covered because they felt like, I'm too disgusting, yeah. God, for you to look at me. And what is God's response? He goes in the garden, searches for them and says aloud, where are you?
Yep.
Where are you, Adam? First off, he's talking to the man because, you know, Heather.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's crazy because God himself obviously knew where they were, but
yep.
I believe he asked where they were because he wants us to know that when we are sick in our shame and in our mud, in our rut, whatever that is, and we feel gross and naked, that he seeks us out.
Right.
That is the heart of
wow.
Christ, to seek us out whenever we are most disgusting.
Mm.
And it's Satan's lie to say, hey, go run, hide. He doesn't want to, God doesn't want to be seen with you. He doesn't want anything to do with you. Go cover up. He, you're too gross to look at. Mm. That is not the heart of Christ.
Mm.
And that is where so many people are falling because they feel too gross. But at the end of the day, the Beatitudes say, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, those who literally just need Jesus
yeah.
and feel disgusting. Those are the ones who are actually blessed.
Right.
So what does he do? He goes, seeks them out. Continuing on, I won't go down a rabbit hole because I could preach a whole sermon on that.
Facts.
And what he does is he sacrifices an animal to cover them. So what that was doing is foreshadowing, foretelling the blood of Jesus
yeah.
that now, because of the pure sacrifice, what Jesus did for us on the cross, God no longer sees us for our sin,
mm-hmm.
for our shame, for anything that you've done in your past, done present, and are going to do in the future.
Right. He throws it into a sea of forgetfulness.
Exactly.
Like, he no longer, you had someone said to me, it was amazing, like God is watching me on these podcasts talk about my past. And he's like, oh, you did do that.
Right, right.
I forgot about
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, whoa, like Dang. That's crazy. Like that's forgiveness.
Yes.
Forgive and forget. Like,
it's beautiful. And he sees his
God's
son.
God's not condemning you for your shame right now.
Which
He's
is crazy to understand when we've never experienced that in the physical. So if you haven't experienced in the spiritual with God forgiving you, you can't show it to anybody else.
Mm.
So at the end of the day, as we sit here, two broken humans with crazy stories and crazy testimonies, God sees his son and he sees the blood over us. He sees his son covering us. That is crazy to sit in that. Like, in anybody listening, whatever you have done, if you've, you know, caved into sexual sin, because that's a huge thing that the enemy wants to hold people up in darkness and all these things. Like, literally just know if you go to the Lord, repent and turn from it, like, he's forgiven you. Like, there's times we're going to struggle with sin and all of these things, but the Lord looks at the heart. He looks at the heart posture to the sin because he knows if you're taking his grace for granted and taking advantage of him. Mm-hmm.
But well, when the Holy Spirit moves too, you should not be continually struggling in that sin.
Mm-hmm.
Like with me on OnlyFans, like I should not be still struggling with getting off of OnlyFans.
Yeah.
You make that choice.
Mm.
You, it's not even a sacrifice.
Oof.
It's like, here, God, take it because
yeah,
I can't.
Good.
Like, I can't do it. Please take it.
What made you change was kindness. And as I'm speaking right now, I feel the Lord saying a lot of people have been trying to quit addictions and stuff due to shame.
Mm.
And you're not going to quit. You can't. The reason
no,
you keep going back to it.
You're not going to quit out of guilt.
Yes.
Like, no, like,
if
the,
you would
again,
just
the Holy
seek
Spirit
first the kingdom.
Convicts,
yeah, yeah.
But that's not guilt.
That's good.
You are not feeling guilt. The Holy Spirit's pointing something out to you and poking it. And that's what's uncomfortable about
yeah.
it. But you know, and like, again, you'll know when the Holy Spirit is convicting you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, something that I struggled really hard with on this last whatever podcast was this person who continually described God in this, like, horrifying manner. And I'm like, you do not believe in the power of Christ if you think that you are above listening to somebody like me.
Mm.
Like, I'm sorry, but you're wrong.
Mm.
Because God used the most unqualified people to call out people who thought they knew everything. Like, even pastors, huge pastors.
Mm.
Like, who are they to think that they're on, like, a pedestal? Like,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying? Like, God gave you this platform to teach his people, and that is it. Like, you are not the face of anything. It
yeah.
should be God. Like, again, if God wants me to get off social media, he'll tell me.
Yeah.
You know, and I will listen. But just because somebody on the street is like, hey, get off. Like, no one wants to listen to you.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm so rebellious against people. Like, no.
You have an audience of one. And that's what is really
And again,
Jesus.
If this podcast literally gets 12 views.
Glory to God.
12 people heard the truth.
The 12 disciples, they literally changed the world.
They did.
And we're still carrying on legacy. So,
and look how the world treated them. Yeah. They persecuted them, threw them in prison, cut off their heads, tortured them, strung them up. And I'm like,
because of Jesus's obedience, one person's obedience can literally change the whole entire world.
Absolutely. And God did not come to start any kind of religion. Mm. It was only pure relationship, pure intimacy with God.
Dang.
And if nobody understands that, like, I feel so bad for you because the intimacy God gives you is a friendship. He called, who was it? Moses, his friend. Mm. Abraham, his friend. Like, they walked with God, like, openly, actively. Like, whenever God said something, they did it, even though they were struggling human beings themselves. Mm. But they did it. You have to do whatever God tells you to do out of obedience and immediately.
Yeah.
God told me to get off of OnlyFans. I could have been like, you know what, God? Like, I have taxes to pay. Like, how about in, like, a year? You know what's funny? People in my life told me to stay on, like, a year longer. They're like, just stay on it a little bit longer. Make your bag. You don't even need to do anything bad. But it is wrong. It is sin. Yeah. So you're encouraging me to stay in sin. How could God ever bless me when I'm opening this door to darkness? God wants that door shut.
Yeah.
Oh, and Jordan was such an amazing encourager in this time of pure, like, I didn't know.
Dang.
I was like, God, I need you to tell me what to do because I don't know. I'm saved now. I believe in you. I repented. But what comes next? Mm. Because I have all these things like the immodesty, the smoking weed, the OnlyFans is still like open. I had people in my life telling me what they think I should do, but that's not God. So I'm like, God, what is it that you need me to do? And I will do it. Mm. I know you will provide because in the Bible it says that, like, he will provide all of my needs. Mm. So what am I scared of? Yeah. Not having $1 million? Mm. Oh, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, dude, I'm promised a mansion in heaven that's free.
Yeah, yeah. Like, come on.
So what is
that's
it?
So good.
What is money? Like, nothing. It's truly nothing. Like, if he wants me to be homeless, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Because this world, he says, is a temporary place of residence. So you're giving your life for a temporary place to stay? Like, what?
Mm.
What is that?
Oh. It's like, once you've experienced, it's crazy because you've experienced all these things and you're like, nah, I've tried.
I don't want it. And I encourage you never to have it because it'll take you so far from Christ.
Yeah.
So far that you will feel nothing in the end. You would have given up everything for that, for this temporary
gain the whole world and lose your soul.
Mm.
So what is relationship with you, with Jesus, look like now of someone being like, girl, Nala. Also, my dog's name's Nalu, which is
funny. That's so crazy. My dog's name is Simba.
Oh, I love that. Come on. Okay, I'm like finna say Nalu. Nalu.
That's
how I started social media. But anyways, I'll tell you about that later. But it's like, so someone's like saying like, Nala, how do I live in relationship with God?
Man, so in the Bible, it says in everything that you do, put God first. And I take it to everyday steps. When you wake up, what's the first thing you're doing?
Mm.
So I started putting God first. When I open my eyes up, I'm like, God, thank you. Before I pick up my phone, before I do anything, go grab a glass of water, go to the restroom. It is God.
Mm.
Good morning. Like, thank you for giving me this day. Like, it could be the tiniest little prayer, but you address God first. Mm. Before you eat, what do? We pray before our food. You know, everything that you do, it says put God first. He doesn't mean that in like a little foo-foo way. It's like, no, put God first. Whatever your day looks like, you've got to put him first.
Mm.
So before you make a decision for the day, it's not like, oh, what should I eat for dinner? God, tell me what to eat for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
It's like making any other decision is like, you need to ask the Holy Spirit, like, where are you guiding me today? Mm. Who do you want me to talk to today? What video do you want me to put on social media? Yeah. I ask God all the time, what do you want me to post? And if I'm not feeling anything, nothing goes up.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's that simple. Mm. But like, you have to keep one ear open for the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
He will tell you what to do. And sometimes it is hard. But the closer you get with God, reading your Bible, I highly suggest you stop reading your Bible once a week. Stop doing that. Mm. Read your Bible at least four times a week.
Yeah.
And then once a day, and then twice a day for a week, like continue to study his word. And I'm not talking like to read chapter after chapter after chapter. I'm talking like take five verses.
Yeah. Meditate on it.
Ask Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, this is what I'm reading today. What are you trying to show me through this? You could, because the great thing about the Holy Word is like, you can go back to that like a month later and get something completely different from it because he's showing you something different from it. So I, like I said, I've never been a big reader, but then all of a sudden when I became a Christian, I was so thirsty for Christ.
Mm.
I was like, God, I need more of you. What else? Like, my worship time increased. I deleted my entire secular like playlist because I was like, God, that's not what I need in my life anymore. That only hyped, like when you listen to secular music, you're like hyping yourself up.
Yeah.
You like feel this pride swelling in you. Like, so that got rid of. And then like, I started reading these books. Like John Bevere is an incredible artist and writer. I highly recommend anyone who's like searching after God, searching after what the Holy Spirit's role is. Because in my mind, the Holy Spirit was like this big cloud. Yeah. I was like, hey, I don't even know what your role is. But after I read that book, I was like, oh, you are so present in my life. You are in every room, every day, every night. Like you are here. You are present. You are promised to us. So seek after Christ with everything that you do. Like, and in all things, guard your heart. The Bible says that. And if you, if he says that, he means it in everything that you do, guard your heart. And if your eyes and your ears are, they're funnels to your heart, you need to guard those above all else. Yeah. Guard what you're looking at on social media. Guard what you're hearing from other people and your music intake. Like it is your responsibility. The Holy Spirit's not going to take your phone from you and be like, no, 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 stop. You're not on timeout.
He ain't forcing you.
No, he's not. That's what free will is all about. Yeah. God wants the most loyal people because you chose to be loyal.
That's good.
It. So again, God says very specific things in the Bible, and sometimes it can get a little bit overwhelming, but take it slow.
Yeah.
And if you really want that relationship with Christ, continue to read your word.
That's good.
Continue to listen to worship music. And something I've done so far from the Awe of God book is it encourages you to take 10 minutes a day just to start off with. 10 minutes a day, go sit somewhere, anywhere where it's quiet. Ask the Holy Spirit to just be present with you and shut up. Be quiet. Yeah. Like sit still and listen. How is Holy Spirit supposed to listen to you if you're not being quiet? You're just constantly like talking and talking and your mind is racing. Keep yourself in this place of continually, actively listening to what Holy Spirit's saying to you. Do that and continue to do that. And he will speak. He's got a lot to say. You know, and sometimes he is quiet. So it's like, God, where are you directing me? Sometimes he won't answer.
Sometimes we need to shut up.
We need to shut up.
That's beautiful. That's like the perfect answer. And I'll even add just honesty. Honesty with God is powerful. Huge. And what I realized is I started seeing breakthrough and freedom when I started to be honest. So everything
honest
you're saying.
With what? Like your emotions or like with everything?
God, I don't understand why this happened.
Vulnerability.
Yeah. And be like, God, I am actually feeling angry at you right now. Like you even see.
Oh, I love that.
See David, like where he's understand. Like
he's like, God, where are
even
you?
Even Jesus, my God, why have you forsaken me? Like God, like there's
Job even.
Times. Yes. And he did not sin, is what the word says.
He doubted, but that is not like a sin. He still believed in God, and God was openly talking to him the whole time, not promising him anything.
Yeah.
But yet he still stayed open to what God had to say.
When he
to
continued
him.
To go back to God. And that's the thing. In the honesty, God, I feel a little bit mad at you. This was me the other day. God, I feel a little bit mad at you, but I know you're good. I know you cause all things to work for the good of those who love you according to your plan and purpose. I know these things. Yep. I didn't feel mad, but I didn't leave. I kept going back to him. And it was just like a silly little
feeling.
I just
recently struggled with that too. I was like, God, where are you? Been talking to you and talking to you and talking to you. And like, why aren't you answering? I'm asking for your direction, but where are you?
Yes.
I was sobbing when this happened. I was like, God, I need to hear your voice. And sometimes it's scary, but God never left. Yeah. He's still listening.
That's good.
He has inclined his ears to you. Like it's just so good.
That's
like,
beautiful.
Even when you are doubting, when you're hearing God's voice, like he's still there. Mm-hmm. He never walked away.
Yeah.
He's just, this is a big test.
Yeah.
It really is. Like if David felt like that in the Bible, one of the most powerful kings, he felt like God had deserted him.
Yeah.
And yet he's not taking out his enemies and he's letting him go through all of this stuff. Like
he was
we have to go through things.
Yeah.
That's what sharpens it.
That's good.
What makes us stronger. You know, again, we're little diamonds, you know, but we don't start off as diamonds. We're like this big bulk of rock and it's ugly and you can't do anything with it.
Yeah.
But God is pressuring you and pressuring you and pressuring you. But again, if the Bible promises you that he's not going to give you anything that you cannot handle, and he also promises, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, do you not believe that?
Right.
He will never let you go through anything that you cannot handle or cannot deal with. The devil is not more powerful than Christ.
No.
Bam, there you go. If you hold onto your promises and keep repeating them, when the devil's coming at you,
that's
you repeat
so good.
That back. That's what Jesus did when he was being tempted for 40 days and 40 nights.
Come
he
on.
Just kept repeating it, kept repeating it. Like, this is what my God says, and you are not more powerful than my God because you have to ask permission. You're a loser, bro.
That's good.
You're a loser.
Yeah.
And openly speak to the devil, as in like not speak to him, don't converse with him, but rebuke him openly and openly with your mouth. Yeah. Like Luke 10:19, shut up.
You have the power and authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. The Lord has given us that power.
We are above in the name of devil.
Jesus. Exactly.
Like if God says we're above the angels and he was a fallen angel, we're above the devil.
Right.
Period.
That's
what
crazy.
Are you scared of?
Right.
The devil can't kill you.
Come on.
He can't.
That's so
good. So it's like,
good.
What am I afraid of? This loser telling me to go sin? Oh, gosh. Right. You got to try harder than that.
Well, it's like whenever you know the truth, then you're not going to give in to a lie. Because it's like, LOL, you can say these things, but like.
Lost.
Right. It's like, that's embarrassing for you.
That's embarrassing.
So we're going to run out of time, but I just want to know really quick, like, okay, so we heard your story. So where does the Lord have you at now? We don't have a lot of time, but I just want to know, like.
I'll wrap it up real quick.
Yeah,
so
what you're doing
literally
now.
Has me speaking openly on social media about it. I've even responded to certain people's claims. And there was this one girl who came out about doing this horrific act on OnlyFans. And I made a little video about it, just encouraging her, telling her how worthy she is, instead of all these people being like, oh, you're a whore. Like, blah, blah, blah. No, you're loved by God.
Come
That's
on.
What you are. Wow. So like, I'm here to just spread the word of God in whatever way he chooses. I would love to go do mission work. I feel called to children too. Jordan and I actually just recently through World Vision started like sponsoring a child.
Well,
and
congrats.
That was like, ooh, it's so powerful. So just living for Christ, wherever he's going to take me, I know it's going to be good and it's going to be within his will. But if we continually pray to ask to be in God's will and that my prayer aligns with his will, he will make that happen.
Wow.
But just seeking him, man. I'm just a person seeking Christ.
Come on. That's the best place to be in. Thank you for your obedience, and Jordan as well, for just being obedient and submissive to the Lord in this episode. I just know a lot of people feel delivered and set free from whatever lie and just receiving the Lord's grace.
Yep.
I mean, as you're speaking, I'm just like seeing people just take notes, like on like,
I
okay,
hope so.
This is what I'm going to do with my, you know, quiet time with the Lord today.
Yeah.
And people are actually going to go and do what you said.
That's
like,
awesome.
That is so crazy that the Lord entrusts you, like, to just have a voice for him. So would you be able, I always like to end my podcast just, like, praying. Would you be able to just, like, pray us out?
And then, I'd love to.
Okay.
Father God, we love you so much. Like, I just feel this awesome strength coming from you right now, coming into this podcast, filling the people who are watching this podcast right now with your love. God, pour out your love. We're asking this in your precious name. Lord God, we are asking for a miracle to start this revival, God. This revival
Jesus.
Starts in our hearts, and it will continue to proceed out of our mouths, Father God, and into other people's lives. Father God, let people be touched by our stories. We all come from different places, and we are all basically a Paul getting saved and just out here preaching your word, teaching other people, planting seeds, God, for the harvest, because there are few that want to harvest, Father God, but we are them, Father. Lord Jesus, I ask you in your name that you're going to be breaking chains, Lord God, chains of addiction.
Yes,
we ask that these chains be removed from these people's lives. Satan, you have no hold on these people. Father God, you are more powerful than anything that ever was and will be. Lord God, you are the creator, the Messiah. Father God, you are Yahweh, the deliverer. Jesus, Lord God, I pray in your name that these people get delivered from whatever their situation may be and continue to follow you throughout their life, Lord God, throughout their life walking with you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, please guide these people. You are sent and promised to us to teach us and help us through everything that we go through. Lord God, I just pray that your blessing be on everyone who's watching this, even if it's 12 people, you beautiful 12 people, just receive Christ,
yes,
receive his promises, receive his love. That is all we need at the end of the day, is just love from you, Father. God, we're pouring out our hearts to you in everything that we do. Lord God, help us to continue to put you first in every day of every rest of our life here on earth, Father God. This temporary residence that you gave us just to serve you, God, is enough. If you never did anything else for us, Father God, it would be enough.
Yes, God.
It would be enough. Thank you for our salvation, Father God. And I pray for a revival to just start and continue and continue and continue, God, throughout America, throughout the world, Father God. We pray for this guidance, Lord God, to send us, Lord, send me, Father God. Thank you, Jesus, so much for this opportunity. Bless my host, Father God, and his podcast and whoever he's talking to and the message he will continue to send, Father God, throughout the world. In Jesus' name, I pray this. Amen.
Amen.
Whew. Let's go.
Holy Spirit. That was good.
That was so
Thank you guys for being here.
Of course, dude.
Like,